You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. My name is Lance White, and I'm your host. Today, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower returns to do another show. Through natural alchemy, sacred union, and living the entire mythological body of the goddess, Laura is powerfully creating global transformation on the Venus path. Taking on the darkest forces on Earth, Laura reveals the influence of the false matrix and conquers the hidden agendas that are affecting our personal freedom. She opens the gateways for ascension, reveals the source of ancient symbols, and brings to light the true Holy Grail. Laura is also one of the presenters at Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails 2012, which we'll be talking about after we catch up on all the news. So let's welcome Laura back to the show now. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's very hot here in Northern California.
Yeah, it's hot here, too. I'm in South California.
Oh, I was born and raised in Santa Barbara, so I know that area.
Yep, 45 minutes from there.
Oh, cool. Well, one of the things that I thought that we might start the show with, just to kind of give people a taste of where you have come from. In our last show, we talked about the meeting that had been set up by the cabal, or the elite, which had to do with the migrating to the Mars base. And I thought it might be a good place to open the show to give people an idea of how these people work. And I think that it dovetails into the chemtrail agenda.
Right, yeah. Well, in 2006, I was approached by somebody, and just kind of like in a friendly sort of way, just the development of a friendship, I guess you could say. And what happened was a relationship was formed, and I didn't think anything weird. It was just all very normal to me. And I was living in D.C. at the time, and so when this person would come visit me, he would go to secret meetings and was starting to talk about going to Mars. And I didn't really take it that seriously. I didn't really know the extent of this agenda or how deeply ingrained in the shadow government and sort of this artificial timeline this whole thing was. But, and I didn't know about what I know now then, and this is when I started to really open my eyes to what we're dealing with today. So throughout the relationship, I found that this person's behavior was very odd, and secret meetings seemed to carry a lot of secrecy and a lot of really strange energy. I was kept in the dark about a lot of it, but I was also being pushed to go to this Mars colony. So I had some prophetic dreams that helped me see clearly and see that I had a choice. And I decided in the dream, and when I was very conscious, you know, the choices that I had, that I was going to absolutely and totally not go to Mars and stay here on Earth to do my mission. And when I declared that to myself, I started to be very clear about it with others, and that's when I started to uncover and unfold the nature of this agenda, what it connects to, the different technologies that were being used, and why I was targeted, the fact that the person that I had met at this gathering that seemed to be a normal friendship developing into a relationship was actually somebody that was sent to recruit me by a secret group in the government connected to the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when I started to research the names that were associated with the recruitment, I saw that they were associated with different technologies like HARP and psychotronic weaponry and military abductions and artificial telepathy, which really validated what I was experiencing from this person that seemed to be in communication with a race of beings about going to Mars. Later discovered, of course, that it's connected to Alternative 3, which was established in the Eisenhower administration. And this agenda seems to be connected with the Zetas and the desire to occupy the planet Mars and create some sort of new world order here on Earth. And so these alternatives have to do with underground bases, off-planet colonies, in the event that we can survive and protect the human genome, when in actual fact that's not the real story. The real story is that it's for a specific agenda in order to create genocide and create mass control and enslavement. So my intuition knew all this, and then finally the information that I gathered validated it, but I absolutely stood against it. There was no possible way I was going to go, and now here I am, not on Mars, but still on Earth, dealing with some other aspects of this type of agenda, particularly focused on chemtrails right now. There's a conference next weekend, August 17th, 18th, 19th in L.A., where we will gather a bunch of experts together to talk about chemtrails and what the ramifications are and what the reasons are behind it.
Well, you know, I am so happy to see that such stellar names as yourself and the many people who are doing this, the chemtrail presentation, are finally able to come together and form a conference. There are a few that stand out in my mind, because I know of them. Roseanne Barr is one of my favorite people. Clifford Carnicom, of course, is known for his scientific research. Michael J. Murphy's been on the show. He just came out with a new movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And Sophia Smallstorm and Scott Stevens has been on the show. He was a television weatherman who discovered chemtrails, and he felt he could no longer stay in good faith knowing what was going on. And then Alfred Lambremont Weber and Carrie Cassidy, one of my first guests. So it should be a dynamite presentation, and I am so thrilled to see it, because for the last 15 to 20 years, I have had to basically contain this information within myself. Because nobody, even when you point it out and they look up and see them, sees them. There's been a cognitive dissonance, and it's just one aspect of many that are designed to enslave and control and destroy.
Yep.
So what were some of the other agendas that you found out over the years that were going hand in hand with that first one?
Well, I would say the Monarch, Project Monarch, and how that has infiltrated the entertainment industry, stars, and anybody that's really kind of put into a position of power based on talents and skills, you know, our world leaders as well. Most people that are in the spotlight usually have some level of control. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I've met a lot of people that have been able to break free of that programming, that talk about what they went through, the level of ritual child abuse and that they endured, and just the whole splitting of the mind into many personalities in order to kind of use them like a computer. And that's another huge agenda that's kind of like right in our face but very hidden. There's all sorts of just like transhumanism agendas, which would create, in a sense, a sort of cyborg, robotic kind of existence that's plugged into a supercomputer's artificial intelligences that control things. And that's connected to chemtrail agendas. So, you know, we got FARP and weather modification. Basically, what they're doing is destroying the organic natural world and replacing it with this sort of toxic techno-artificial matrix that dumbs us down through these poisons and then replaces us into a computerized system to kind of upgrade us, but based on their terms, not organic laws of creation.
Right.
So this is what we're up against, but we're dealing with multiple timelines as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel that this has something to do with the time we're in now at the close of so many ages?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a massive infiltration of the organic ascension timeline in order to siphon souls into this artificial timeline connected to Mars, connected to chemtrails, connected to artificial intelligence and beast computers and chips and implants and lower alien agendas. And this is a critical point to really understand this, to expose it, and to stay strong in ourselves, because it's our self-awareness and our soul spiritual awareness that keeps us grounded and anchored in our truth that allows us to stay firm on the Ascension timeline. But there is, you know, these intruder races that have come in, and they have, you know, every desire in the world during this time to take as many souls with them as possible onto their agenda. At the same time, this is a harvesting time where they want to create enough negative polarity on the planet in order to allow themselves to work off karma in a fourth density negative planet, because the higher levels of the Illuminati state that they need to play the dark role in order to assist us in waking up. Now, that's one perspective. The other would be that they have no desire at all, but that's those that are on a need-to-know basis and need to see the larger plan, that are only here to really just create enslavement and control, but can't see that there's actually a larger, greater plan for us, and that they played that role in order to give us a choice, which would be self-awareness or, you know, ego involvement and service to self, which would create the, you know, the further draw into that artificial timeline. So
right,
it's just a critical
right.
time where we have a choice.
Right, and of course, all of the technology that would be used for the transhumanist agenda, the major populace would not fare well compared to those who had the top of the line genetics from, you know, Arcturus and the Pleiades and you know, futuristic technologies to enhance and keep their bodies and the rest of it going beyond belief. So it's not a very positive thing in the hands of the people who have been systematically destroying the planet, creating wars, and doing so many just horrible things, horrible acts to this day, to have them hold the keys to the computer. It just
And the future is, and that's the thing, it's like they create these false flags and they create all these sort of dramatic news stories, you know, these shootings, these Colorado shootings, and a lot of this sort of staged events and pre-planned controlled events in order to put us in fear and to lower our consciousness, so that the nanotechnologies and the effect of chemtrails and plugging us into this sort of supercomputer is more possible. Because
yes.
when we carry a lower consciousness and we're resonating on that frequency, we're easily drawn into that artificial timeline, where if we choose not to react and we choose to be empowered, I mean, we can react by creating awareness and exposing this stuff, but if we react through fear, it lowers our frequency, of course.
That's right. That's right.
So it's kind of like we get just out all this sort of false news, false flags, false terrorism stuff. We lower our consciousness and we, you know, kind of enter this trance of confusion, and that's what makes us easily susceptible to these technologies. If we keep our frequency high, these technologies have a harder time plugging into us, and most implants end up going dormant or they deactivate and get neutralized, because the higher frequencies of consciousness don't stand for these foreign energies and artificial energies.
Right.
But the thing is, if we start to fall prey to the lies of the media and the perceptions out there, we're running on a low frequency, which is what, you know, enables us to get locked into the techno side.
Right. Right. And, of course, there's such a push through the interlocking corporations and banks and governments, it's all an interlocking unit, there's such a push to encourage the youth to and the adults to have the latest technology, which is hardly the latest technology. They just toss a few crumbs that are just slightly better than last year's model. But do we get bilocation or anti-gravity or, you know, warp drives? I don't think so. And we don't have free energy, which was patented decades ago and was proven through Tesla and many others. In fact, free energy has existed for thousands of years if you consider the Egyptians and other cultures. So, you know, we're just so dumbed down, and we're kept on the oil standard and boxy cars. It seems like something has got to give.
And it will, because this is where we come in. And the unified field, being in our, you know, empowerment, recognizing that we don't need to attain enlightenment. We already are enlightenment. We're just removing the distortions and the programming and the veils that have covered us up. And the thing is, it's like with all these different attacks and agendas and GMOs and food, the masculine and feminine energies are also targeted. And that's why, you know, in the media and in entertainment industries, there is sort of this very superficial sort of very exploitive kind of unhealthy dynamic between the masculine and feminine. And
yes.
As long as those two energies stay divided or misunderstood or in a power struggle or competition with each other, that further puts us in that frequency of vulnerability. And
yes.
So I put a lot of attention on sacred union, the alchemical marriage, and really finding that union within to raise
yeah.
our
yes.
frequency. But yeah, everything's under attack. Everything that can get us out of this has been targeted, so we just need to reclaim it. We need to understand what the targets are and call them back and restore them in ourselves. And if we could all do that, we'd be fine.
Well, I take it that you do assist people or empower them to do that process.
Yeah, that's definitely what I do. I do readings daily. I do charts and do clairvoyant readings, you know, checking out people's chakras and just, you know, where they've allowed a lot of foreign energy in this space and just, you know, help them clear ancestral patterns. And just all sorts of stuff to kind of get them on track and prepared for what we're, like, already, like, up against.
Right, right. Now, what do you see, we're getting so close to the end of the year now, something I never thought I would actually witness. I mean, it was 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, and I thought 2012 will never arrive. Well, here we are in August of 2012, and apparently we will be here to see, God willing, to see it arrive. What is your take or your intuitive feeling about the energies and Gaia Sophia's part in the ascension process, and what we may be looking at? There could be multiple timelines. It could be so many things. What are you sensing?
Well, I'm sensing that, you know, we haven't really moved as quickly as we should have been, and I don't want to say that because everybody might argue and say it's all in divine timing, and yeah, I mean, it is to a certain degree, but when we're dealing with intruder races, you know, we're dealing with the need on an accelerated level to really wake up and be conscious, and to be conscious in every moment, and to handle the transmutation of negative forces that bombard us daily. I mean, we need
mm-hmm.
to be in that participation and co-creation constantly, and it's not up to just a few of us, it's not up to, you know, some leader or ET race, every single individual needs to step up. And so Gaia Sophia energies need that. She needs our co-creation. She needs our participation. And to recognize that we're seated with divine energy and that our potential is seated in our consciousness. And so most of these agendas target the physical health, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can't really target the natural blossoming of our consciousness and our awakening process if we can focus on our co-creation and, you know, our participation, because then we are actively, you know, doing the alchemy and the work. When we start to neglect that and we're kind of, you know, waiting for something to happen and we're looking ahead and we just are complacent, just sort of along for the ride, this is where those intruder races sort of sneak up and take advantage, and that's when we can be, you know, pulled away from our greatest potential. Now, this is what the masses seem to be doing, is that they're sort of going down the artificial track. And so I'm not seeing so much that on a collective level we're on the ascension track, but those who are ready to ascend are definitely still going to.
Okay.
I can't say that I'm feeling that confident, though, about ascension on a massive scale. I think, you know, there's a lot of branches, there's a lot of, you know, power lines that are going directly to source and connecting us with that ascension organic path. But on a collective level, there's a lot of stuck energy, a lot of stagnant energy that isn't moving. And unless something really big happens, you know, that might really affect, what's going on for the collective. So
yeah.
This is why it's so crucial that people participate in these kind of events, you know, chemtrail events. There's still a ton of cynicism. There's still a bunch of negative comments, you know, and negative attitudes about those that are trying to wake people up. And so it's like August 2012 is really shocking to have this level of opposition against those that are really trying to, you know, wake things up. Also, the indigos and crystal children have been targeted, those that haven't fully awakened yet to their potential. And what we're, you know, in the process of is stepping up our DNA. And in order to do that, we go through different initiations. We have to remove different things out of the way. I guess the way to describe it would be, what would one call it? It's something about accretion, that when the energy from the energy streaming in from the galactic plane are coming in, we naturally take steps up. We naturally, you know, are resonant with it because we have that energy within us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're distracted, when we're turning our attention away from that, we miss those necessary upgrades, and we end up just putting that power and energy into the very agendas that we're against. So when we focus on fear, when we get engaged in these stories and dramas, when we react in anger, or we don't understand the real lesson and the real thing we need to focus on is unity consciousness, inner balance, and you know, co-creation and all those good things, you know, we run the risk of missing necessary times of upgrading and handing it over to the drama and the crisis. So I always hold a positive energy for the collective in the future, and I'm all about the positive timeline, but it's all about the natural stargates and enough light coming in, and too many people are blocking it. So I'm not, like, in a negative spin about it, but I'm definitely not going to sugarcoat anything, and the message here is, like, you know, people need to step up and participate. They need to support these events. They need to spread this information. Who cares if people think you're crazy? If you know that, like, you're doing something, you know, so what if you have a position and people think you're crazy? We don't have time for that.
I'm with you. You know, it's time to stop pussyfooting around and being afraid of what everybody thinks about us. You know, there's such a tendency for us to conform to everything, and that's part of the program. It's a literal running program that is designed to keep everybody at a level that is far below standard, and always concerned about what other people think about them and what's the norm, and ridiculing that which isn't the normal. This world has become a travesty, and it's a dying travesty, and I kind of agree with you that I'm just not sure, you know, as far as the numbers go, that people will be able to be ready, given the nature of life as it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, now,
you know,
on fear, you said one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, so many people are tapped into the Matrix, and I'm loosely calling the Matrix television, radio, rock bands, anything that has a vibration that can be co-opted and used for mind control, and that's basically everything. So I like to recommend that people, if they are serious about seeing what's really out here with their subtle senses, is turning off their television sets and moving into a still place, at least for short periods of time during the day. It doesn't have to be meditation, but there has to be time in stillness, and especially communicating with nature.
It's crucial. I mean,
it is.
There's frequencies coming out of the television that they actually, this is what I heard, take it or leave it, listeners, that they actually record the sound on a subtle level of tortured beings moaning and screaming, and they emit that through the television in order to sort of throw it into a negative, lower vibe.
Yep,
and that they
yep.
use a lot of souls, and they take and abduct a lot of beings into underground bases to do experiments and to do crazy things in order to throw out technologies that run the frequency of the lowest levels of consciousness that we can imagine. Not
That's
just
right.
the lowest levels because of their intention, but the lowest levels based on the harm and the torture that they are causing these people.
Yep.
And, you know, it's our responsibility to call this out. And a lot of people say, oh, we're all one, and we just need positive thoughts. And, you know, don't create an us and them scenario. But it's like, we are all one, and I'm not trying to create an us and them scenario. But if your child was getting molested, would you just be like, oh, we're all one? Or would you say that's absolutely wrong and justice needs to be done? It's like enough with allowing them to get away with it with philosophical, spiritual, like, excuses. We need to, like, call this stuff out. We need to call out the negative behaviors in ourselves. Just like somebody who's addicted to drugs, they need to call it out and they need to heal. It's like that's a part of being one. We all affect each other. So none of us should get away with doing anything that's evil. And it's part of our oneness that makes us responsible to expose these things and to put an end to it.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. And on top of that, according to all, most of the near-death experiences that I've researched, there is a life review in which everything that we ever saw, did, felt, and thought is recorded in, you know, three different forms, and so we get to see it all as it plays back for us. So, you know, we live with the idea that, you know, nobody is watching us or nobody knows anything, but that's a fallacy. It's a fallacy because everything is being recorded, not only at this level, but I'm talking about the spiritual realms. Everything is recorded, so we can learn from our lifetime that is that we're on now.
Yeah, and so people might freak out and be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, I did this, I did that, I was so wrong." But it's like the thing is, once you change, we're all going to make mistakes, no doubt. But when we can just figure out that we're here to learn wisdom and we're here to grow and we're here to, you know, change our behaviors and evolve. You know,
right.
Then we don't have to feel like, you know, shameful about the things that we've done. We get to just say, hey, I'm not proud of that, but I get to change this. Because if we are being watched and we are being recorded, you know, by spirit consciousness, and it affects, you know, where we're headed next and just our karmic journey, you know, let's just be real with ourselves and look at ourselves and do massive clearing, purging, and self-forgiveness, and just, you know, asking for assistance from a greater, higher power that we're connected to, because it's within us. And let all the other stuff go and be gentle with yourself, because these agendas have made us very susceptible to being not the best of ourselves. So
yeah.
Instead of beating oneself up, just understand that, yes, okay, we've been targeted, and so it's made us less than who we really are. So it's easy to have self-forgiveness, knowing that this isn't just natural, that we've all made these kind of mistakes, that we've been pushed into it.
Exactly.
And now we get to pull ourselves out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's beautifully said. And also a lot of our self-esteem issues, of course, some of that just happens in the process of life itself, but we are pushed to feel division and a lack of self-esteem, because the people who are insecure and fearful are much easier controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about it has to do with chemtrails. Did you do a lot of research, or have you just been doing it ongoing on your own to find out about the agenda? And how are chemtrails possibly tied into Morgellons?
Well, I've just, you know, I've been aware of chemtrails for a really, really long time, and there's so many different theories, both positive and negative, and I just kind of then just let it all sort of sink in and decide what my intuition tells me, and then I just kind of go with, you know, what my heart tells me. But, yeah, supposedly everybody's got Morgellons, only some have symptoms. Now, what that means is that, yeah, that we all have absorbed nanoparticles, all these toxins and different things, but the difference is with Morgellons patients is that their body's trying to get rid of it and excrete it, so they get sores, they release, you know, fibers and really odd things. And that can be a sign of a healthy immune system trying to get rid of it, or the body's inability to adjust or acclimate or somehow process it. I don't think it's necessary. Usually people with an acidic blood type tend to get Morgellons, and when they get treated with alkaline water and they, you know, take certain supplements and medicines, it can improve their symptoms. So, you know, I would say it's good that the body's trying to excrete, but yet the excreting process turns into a disease. It's not very positive. So we're kind of in this dilemma. My viewpoint is that we're dealing with a multidimensional reality and many timelines, and as long as we can initiate ourselves with our consciousness into these higher levels of being by clearing out all the programming, the negative receptors that buy into the fear and the lies, we shift our reality, because we're clearing it from the inside, we clear it from the outside. So as we clear ourselves, we end up moving up in dimensional levels, and we get to higher Earths and higher experiences, where I feel that we take new bodies, you know, that are very similar to the ones that we're in that look like us, but they're kind of waiting for us in a more pristine form, because we have versions of ourselves in other dimensions.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that they're being powered by anybody besides us right now, but I feel like, you know, there's something that naturally, it's like shape-shifting, but not like a reptilian shapeshifter. It's just, it's the initiation. It's kind of like when people, you know, are dreaming. dreaming at night, they go through all different sort of levels, and the physical world changes based on the frequency of the dreamer. Same thing in this reality, because we're lucid dreamers. When we initiate ourselves in consciousness, our physical bodies shift, you know, what we hold on to shifts, what we bring in shifts, and the power of magic and miracles is way stronger than the physical world if we can access it. That's why these technologies are run by dark occult rituals, because they utilize magic and power, but they steer it with an ill-willed intention. When we access the same kind of power, but we direct it towards the good, you know, there's a natural magic and a natural shifting that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
people with multiple personalities, one of their personalities might get injured, but when they shift into a new personality, that injury disappears because they're in a completely different dimension of themselves. So I feel that if that's possible with multiple personalities and they're able to have a completely different experience from one personality to the next, even though it's trauma-induced, when we raise our consciousness and our frequency, can shift the physical affliction and whatever we've taken on in this dimension into a whole different scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Because the thing is, a lot of this is dream warfare. You know, it's based on our reaction. So when a false flag happens, they rely on our lower consciousness and our fear to fuel their agendas. And
that's right.
Dream warfare, because it's a frequency battle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And one of my guests, George Kavassalis, has done a handful of shows with me. And in his new book, he talks about the fact that he's verified that some of these galactic groups, or, you know, the local ones that are in charge of the planet, have artificial intelligence that's not positive. It's being used against us. And apparently there were a couple of devices that were given to the military. So we know that they've been developing these things anyway and have been using numerous forms of frequency control. And so it's really important to be aware of, you know, what's mine and what's yours. You know, is that my thought? You know, obviously these lone killers that all look so similar are, you know, CIA or three-letter agency mind-controlled slaves that have been compartmentalized and used to pull off these events for the fear factor and distraction.
Absolutely.
And
that's
then
so
of course,
well defined, but yes.
And then we've got all the weather wars going on, and it's gotten so I have no idea whether a tsunami or an earthquake is a natural organic process done by our mother, or if it's from the ionosphere beaming back down and creating a horror for thousands of people.
Yeah. I'd say when massive populations are wiped out because of a natural disaster, it's coming from the dark side, from, you know, the elitists. And when it's just, you know, a hiccup and the earth is shifting and shaking and not a whole lot of people get hurt,
yeah.
I see that as Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is not here to, you know, she's an unconditional loving mother. That's why we're still here. That's why the sun still comes up and down. But, you know, we're reaching a critical point where she's going to have to shake off those that are not in alignment with her. And but at the same time, they're trying to suppress that natural detox by putting on those controls even stronger. And it's the consciousness that they target, because when our consciousness is aligned with the mother energy or with Gaia, you know, we enhance the immune system of the planet and we act as its extensions, and we allow that light to overcome the darkness, just like the immune system in a physical body. But as long as our consciousness is being owned by the dark side and the technologies are being used, we, in a sense, trap the creative energy of Mother Earth. And so, you know, she, you know, births a new creation and a higher Earth for those who are ready, but still, you know, allows herself to be almost taken over so the lessons of duality can continue for others to graduate out of. And so this particular density and this particular timeline, you know, is not really the true Mother Earth energy, but it's like this artificial matrix that has imitated nature. It takes like holographic print, and I call it imitator technology. They're using, you know, natural abilities that we have, and they're using, you know, nature and cosmic forces, and they're turning it into technologies because they mimic it and they imitate it.
Yes.
And so they can create sort of this virtual reality, but it's not really the Mother Earth energy. Those that are organically connected to the Mother Earth energy will stay on the ascension timeline. Those that buy into that artificial matrix will find that they're not really in a real Earth, and it's not even a real density or dimension anymore. It's just this matrix that one can be trapped in, but can also be freed of the minute they wake up to it.
Yes, very well said, very well said. Knowing how the elite work, as you do, what do you think it will take to remove the horrendous agendas being played out now on so many levels?
Oh, gosh. It just takes a massive, massive amount of awakened beings. I mean, the Occupy movement wasn't big enough. I mean, it has to be, you know, everybody has to just, the majorities at least. I mean, sometimes it doesn't even take a majority. It's just a critical number. I mean, people throw around 144,000 because, you know, the 12 tribes and just, you know, that significance. But, you know, it might not take even that many, but there needs to be, oh, my gosh, you know, we need to stop these rituals. We need to get, you know, the law enforcement that actually has some level of a good nature still to be on our side rather than their side, and to understand that they're being used and played to continue to serve these dark agendas, when actually some of them might be really good people that just have no clue what they're doing. You know, we need the support of the armies. We need the support of the military. We need all the people that go off and fight for their country to wake up so that they can use those skills and create the army of light with the rest of us, with the light workers. So, you know, I've always had this feeling, you know, going to police academies and going to, you know, places where people have signed up and supposedly to be of service to America or our country.
Oh, right.
And help them to see what's really going on so that we can start to get their support. And so the armies that they would be using against us, we can actually have on our side instead so that they can turn against the dark side. And, you know, I'm not into duality at all, and it might sound like a war, but our bodies are in a war between these and our immune system all the time. This is just part of, like, the alchemy that we're in right now in order to get back to that unity and that oneness in a real way.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, everybody who still looks up to royalty and the queen and the government, you know, need a big whack in the, okay, I won't say that, but, you know, need to be woken up. And so the more experts, you know, chemtrail conferences, the more architects and engineers for 9/11, and those that aren't supposedly conspiracy theories but are educated people that can tell something's wrong, you know, that information needs to be spread, because conspiracy theorists, and with all their projections, you know, can turn people away. We need the experts to call this out that know that something's seriously wrong.
Uh-huh.
Alongside those that, you know, and that's what the Chemtrails Conference offers, is that there's experts that'll say, you know, we understand the science and physics of this. So it's not just some paranoid conspiracy, and people can actually see the facts.
Yes, and that's going to be very important, because they followed the scientific research to the letter, and we've had now at least two decades of research, of high-quality research, which demonstrates that there are all kinds of strange things in the chemtrails in different areas, which means that they can just put any tank in the plane, and it could have, you know, radon gas, it could have anything for all we know. But we do know that there's bacteria, dead bacteria in there. There's uranium. There's various forms of toxic uraniums and nanotechnology. I mean, there's just a plethora of things that you really wouldn't want to have landing on your trees, your lawns, your rocks, in order to permeate them and then replicate as nanomachines.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, I mean, the transhumanists may be praying and doing everything they can to create the event horizon when artificial intelligence takes over, but I don't see that as something that's positive, given the people who are behind that movement.
No, it's not directed by people that are conscious. It's like, it's all cheating. It's like accelerating us on a level that our spirituality cannot keep up with. I mean, we need to spiritually evolve in order to be able to handle the technologies, and those that are handling the technologies aren't spiritually evolved at all. They're all service to self. So there's no way to utilize it correctly or to have it, you know, exist in harmony with nature because it's being used absolutely and totally irresponsibly. Plus, we have the natural abilities. Our ascension path opens us up to, you know, all these abilities they're trying to sell to us in the form of technology. And so we think that these technologies are advanced, when in actual fact, we're more advanced than the technologies. We're just being kept from the truth of who we are, and instead we're hands of boys. And like you said, just breadcrumbs. You
know? Right, right.
And we're thinking like, oh, wow, so cool. But at the same time, it's like we bought into this human stuff. And I'm not saying we're gods, but we certainly are seated with the divine potential that they're so afraid of that they've created all these agendas to stop us. And they've replaced it with this techno world that we're supposed to look up to. They've replaced it with this religious, these religious lies that make us look outside of our, you know, for a savior and redemption when the ones that have distorted the stories are the real sinners and the evil ones. So it's absolutely backwards.
Yes, everything is backwards and, you know, upside down. It's I've always said that.
A lot of people have been, inversion.
Yeah. A lot of people have been talking about the Olympics and various possibilities with that. I do follow Mary Hardy's work where she talks about the ley lines and the Stonehenge aligning with the galactic center. And briefly, all I can remember of the video was that there are lines that go through the Vatican and some through the Royal Palace, and they all converge on the Olympics, and there are all kinds of technological devices used to co-opt the organic, natural devices that have been left here, like the pyramids and so on. Do you have any gut feelings about the Olympics and what's that all about?
Yeah, I've kind of avoided it all because with all the false flag possibilities and alien attacks, it's just like, it's just, I'm so almost disinterested, but at the same time, I'm an observer still, so I can, you know, share my thoughts and opinions about it. But actually, you know, at this point, I've just sort of stayed clear of it. I'm trying to, you know, hold as high of a frequency as I can because I feel like, you know, if anything, that might be able to deflect things a little bit. Each of us doing this is looking deflected because, you know, and I know this isn't quite the answer because I know that that's how you handle the energy as well. So I'm not saying anybody who, you know, has their attention on it is doing the wrong thing. But for me, it's like, you know, I know that when we start to take too much of it on, we don't allow it to bounce back off of us and bounce back towards them.
Yep.
We have to, like, deflect these energies, but we also have to be aware of what's happening. So I've just been focusing on deflecting all those energies because, you know, for karma to work, we can't hold on to the to what they're doing, you know, and many of us can just observe in a neutral way, which helps deflect the energy back to them. But some that, you know, might react in anger or fear, you know, are taking on the very energy that needs to bounce back to them. So I've just kind of been trying to hold a high energy, and I just more communicate about how all these potential threats and things are there and existing, but that we could actually divert them if we just focus on letting those things bounce off of us and bounce back. Because with the Colorado shooting and this other shooting that happened, what Lisa Renee pointed out is it acts like and it starts to spread a virus in our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
We see things like the shooting and we see different things in the news which are small false flags compared to the big one that they want to, you know, throw at us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get our attention enough with smaller ones, then we're really prepped for a larger one, you know, like a 9/11. So
you're right.
It's very important that we observe this stuff, but to recognize that every time we see, like, a shooting or something like this, that sometimes, you know, the whole smoke before we see fire, it's kind of a sign that, like, we're being prepared on a nervous system level to start to feed the fear, feed the anger, feed sort of that victim consciousness, or, you know, judge the family, the victim, or start to get angry at the agendas. And then we're kind of primed for a big whammy because we've already allowed our frequency to sink. And see, because things like looking glass technologies and some of the technologies that they use for time travel surveillance or quantum access, because they can't read anything past 2012 with the looking glass technology, it means that those kind of technologies can't handle a frequency above, like, five-dimensional energy. So if we can hold our energy that high, they can't detect anything and they can't read it and they can't use it to fuel the dark occult technologies that rely on our negative energies order to be used against us. You know, I'm more trying to just, you know, keep the positive harvest and the positive timeline alive. But I do want to observe. I just I'd gotten rid of my TV, so I can only kind of rely on internet news. And so I just, you know, just try and spread. And I'm glad you asked the question because it allows me to talk about, you know, that the nervous system virus and the black heart technology that Lisa Renee mentioned, which I totally resonated with. It starts to kind of create this epidemic of reaction, and then boom, we're vulnerable. It's kind of you know, like if it wasn't an abusive relationship, you get somebody all warmed up to just, you know, open their heart, and then all of a sudden you lay it on them. It's like we've opened ourselves to believing in something or being in a reaction or being engaged in the crisis that we're that much more ready to take a big one, and we need to block ourselves from being receptive at all or even allowing any negative energy in our space. We need to hold a really high energy.
Yep, yep. Again, well said. little thing here that it interests me is it seems that it's almost a prerequisite if people are going to wake up that somehow they're going to have to lose their attachment to material things. And our biggest attachment is through money, for one thing, but it's also the form of control by the bankers getting people into debt. So I have this feeling that somehow the whole financial system is going to be changing very soon, if not imploding. It's almost there now. Do you have any sense of that one?
Well, I think a lot of that's controlled because, you know, nothing I feel happens in this world without there being a lot of foreknowledge or controlled.
Right.
You know, because they'll just switch over to a different type of currency that has to do with chips and has to do with, you know, they'll say, I mean, the thing is, you know, a lot of times we're hoping for something or we sense something, but they know that already.
Right.
They feed on our hopes and fears. So the things that we fear, they feed on. They need that fear. But the things that we hope for or the things, you know, it's all a part of not being anchored in present time or in the now. So as long as we're being yanked into a projection about our future or in a what-if scenario or the fear of the collapse or the hope for the collapse,
yeah,
you know, they're still sending our energy everywhere but right here, right now. And the thing is, we don't need the system. We don't need the money. We don't need the government. We don't need any of it. Mother Earth and our connection to source energy provides for us. Nature provides for us. We can create all the miracles and all the abundance that we need without needing a dollar bill with a man's face on it. And I'm not hardcore feminist. I love men. So if everybody thinks maybe that I'm hardcore feminist, I'm not. I'm all about balance and unity. But we are dealing with a patriarchal system. It's not to give the men a bad name. It's just the nature of how it's been. Just women, you know, have become patriarchal too. It's not just about men.
Right.
It's just that mindset, this willfulness, the Mars energy. That's why there's a Mars agenda. The Mars agenda is all about that patriarchal control. So I do think that things are going to collapse, but I don't trust that they're collapsing I just have a feeling that a lot of it's controlled. And
right.
That you're always going to find some way to pick up the pieces with even a deeper aspect of the agenda.
Yeah, I think you're right about that one, too. At least
I just say, you know, unplug completely from all of it.
Right, right. Well, you know, we live in abundance, and abundance is just simply getting by on what you have. You know, if you're happy with what you have, then you don't need anything else, and you live in abundance.
Totally. The thing is, you know, that's absolutely where it's at.
Now, there's one last question before we have to wind up. I thought I might just throw these two words out there because so many people are talking about it. And I think you might have some insight into it, and that is the question of first contact. Obviously, first contact was made millions of years ago, and they're here now. But the official contact is supposed to be the first contact. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't trust or resonate with anything that's really out there as far as government disclosure, first contact, and who it's going to be with. I just, you know, I'm open to listening, and I'm open to seeing and then forming an opinion, but I don't really trust anything right now. I think, you know, most of it is staged. Most of it is manipulated because we've already been contacted. We've already been invaded. We've already, you know, had treaties signed. We've already we have billions of abductees, you know.
Yep.
So first contact sounds a little strange, you know, unless it's like a confrontation like some of the government officials have had with extraterrestrial races before. But supposedly Eisenhower met with three different groups of extraterrestrials. Roosevelt certainly did. Churchill certainly did it. It was actually Churchill, Hitler, and Crowley that began this whole New World Order artificial timeline with the dealings with the Greys that ended up going to Roosevelt, which ended up going to Eisenhower. By the time Eisenhower came about, there was already that much control in the government, and he,
yep.
you know, basically was being used as a pawn. Now, I just want to cite Mr. Rene for clarifying and bringing that out there about the Crowley, Hitler, Churchill thing. So I don't really trust First Contact. I think a lot of people get so excited about disclosure, but I feel that if there is disclosure, it's going to still be deceitful. It's like, yeah, we might, you know, the masses might start to accept the fact that there's extraterrestrial life. But what are they going to tell us? Are they going to tell us that, you know, these treaties were positive, or that the Mars agenda is positive, or that they're all friendly? Because that's not true. We're dealing with a lot of polarity still. There's 95% positive races. There's way more positive than negative. But this particular density, this third dimensional level, has been invaded by parasitic forces and intruder races.
Yes.
So I think people need to be extremely careful that if there is disclosure, you better have a lot of discernment about what they're going to tell you.
Yes, absolutely right. Well, that almost brings us to the end of the show, and I thought that would give us enough time for you to share any thoughts you wanted to close with, either on chemtrails, on the conference that's coming up, or on anything else that you think the listeners might want to hear. And then make sure that you let everybody know what your website is so we can find you.
Wonderful. So the Chemtrails Conference is August 17th to 19th in L.A. My website's cosmicgaia2012.com. You can find out about getting tickets. You can find out about all these other events that are going on this year. Another really important one around 12-12-12, December 10th to 13th in Phoenix, Arizona, is the Star Knowledge Conference. I've been doing conferences with the Star Knowledge family. Absolutely amazing group of people. And it's just, you know, like a reunion. It's really about getting to the heart and to the roots of, you know, who we are, connection to Mother Earth, and being around family and just really just being in community.
Mm-hmm.
Your support for all these events, because we're not just exposing the dark side, we are empowering solutions. We are, you know, gathering, we are unifying, we are raising consciousness and raising the energy, and the more people who participate, the better. You know, a lot of people sit around and don't like the way that things are in the world. So join us and do something, because each one of us counts, absolutely and totally.
Do you see people collaborating a lot more from various fields that have something to share that could bring something forth if they work together in unity consciousness?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to. I mean, want to integrate the scientific world with the spiritual world. All of these different polarities need to merge together. We all have, you know, a particular role, and it's all about connecting the dots. We're like a mandala. We're a web of life, and we're meant to be connected. We're meant to all share this knowledge and not, you know, brand any part of it like unacceptable. You know, it's everything, you know, counts. We have many aspects to ourselves. We have many dimensions to our nature. And, you know, to me, oneness is diversity and harmony. It's not about all being the same. It's about appreciating our differences and being able to work together in a harmonious way so that we can put the dots together and put the puzzle pieces together and then break free of this time loop that we're in. That's what
yes.
it's all about right now.
Yes, exactly. Well, Laura, you're a bright light and a wonderful person to talk to, and I just love having you on the show. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your thoughts and feelings and also about the conference.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. It's always good to be here.
Say hello to anybody that I know there at the conference for me. And have a good time, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.